So you're getting older and things are starting to change with your body, your skin. Oh, let's face it, everything. Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Anti-Aging Uncensored, the show for driven women who want real solutions to defy their age. I'm your host, Jill Gilbert, digital health leader and entrepreneur. I'm a self-proclaimed product junkie as well as an overly obsessed fan of anti-aging breakthroughs and cutting-edge health solutions. And I'm going to help you tackle the challenging and oh-so-extraordinary next years of your lives. Now let's dive into the latest episode of Anti-Aging Uncensored. Okay, let's face it. None of us are looking forward to menopause. And for those of us that are in the midst of it, it ain't fun. And while I'd love to just close out this episode with, here's the magic pill that will make menopause smooth sailing that you won't even know it's there, I'm so sorry to tell you this, it's just not going to happen. But what I want to do here is help you manage all the crap that's going on with your bodies during menopause and perimenopause. There is so much we don't know that is out there that can really help us. So today, I'm bringing you one of the foremost menopause experts who stays on top of everything in the world of menopause, from medical developments to alternative treatments and therapies. If we have menopause questions, Ellen Dolgen is the person to ask, which is exactly why I invited her here. I have always been a problem solution girl. If I know what the problem is, where can I find the solution? I think it's why I'm so interested in making sure everything I learn gets to be shared with other women like you. Like, why waste this good research on just me? Well, this episode is designed to deliver you the goods. From identifying these symptoms we can expect or didn't even know might be attributed to menopause, and also offering up the solutions that are available so you can get the help you need right now. Let's dive in. Ellen Dolgen, welcome to Anti-Aging Uncensored.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
It's great to have you here. So today, Ellen's going to be our menopause guru guide, who's going to help us navigate and offer some tactical solutions that we can turn to today. So many of us are dealing with perimenopausal issues and menopause, and this is an important topic. So let's talk about Ellen a little bit. Ellen, would you do me a favor and share with us a little bit about you and why menopause?
Yeah, good question. Actually, it was my encore career, never planned. I think these things kind of happen organically. So what happened to me is I was in business with my husband, and suddenly in my mid-40s, without any notice, in the middle of a meeting, I lost my train of thought. And I had no, I couldn't grab it, actually. You know, it's not like, oh, where are my keys, or I forgot my purse. It's like I couldn't grab the thought. And it happened more than once, and it started happening so often that I thought I was in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and I was kind of panicked.
Yeah, I would have thought that's probably the first thing that would come to my mind.
Right. I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I think menopause, because obviously menopause, I was way too young.
Menopause is for old women.
Right. I'm 65 and older, you know. As I approach 68 in September, I really think 68 is very, very young now. But in those days, I thought that was the older woman. Funny how things change. But anyway, so my husband kept kind of finishing my sentences for me. And it was really frightening. And then I started to having insomnia. And I used to be an aerobic sleeper. Like, I can fall asleep with the light on, the TV on, in the middle of a dinner party if it's boring, which is not good. That's not a good quality. And but I could fall asleep anywhere that I'm tired. Wow. So that was not normal for me either. And then the next thing I got was, like, I felt like PMS squared every day. My emotional highs and lows were just, they were huge.
Did you say you were in your low 40s or your upper 40s?
Yeah. And so it was really kind of bizarre. So Luckily for me, I ended up at a dinner party in a retired gynecologist's house. And I was in the kitchen helping Joe with the dishes. And I just started crying. I mean, hysterical crying with absolutely no reason. And Joe comes over and says, Ellen, what's going on? I said, Joe, I an alien has taken over.
That's what I was thinking.
I do not know who I am. My David would like to hire a private detective to find the wife he used to know. Trust me. My kids, too. I have no idea what's going on. I'm crying for no reason. I can't sleep. I have horrible brain fog, and I used to be so laser, like multitasker. And he puts his arms around me, and he says, Ellen, you're in perimenopause. I said, I am not in menopause. I was so insulted. I said, I'm in my 40s. What are you talking about? He goes, no, there are stages, Ellen, and you're in the first stage, and it can start in your 40s, and actually, there's premature menopause. It can even start earlier, but the average age of menopause, which is defined by when your period stops for 12 months, no interruption. So if you bleed like for a second, you start the clock over. Is the
it sounds like the whole 30 diet. You go off of it, you got to start back over again.
Right. So if you're, the average age of menopause is 51. So if it can start 10 years ahead, Ellen, do the math. I said, oh my God. And my period at that point was not irregular or anything. I was still getting my period. So, but that is a symptom of beginning perimenopause when your periods start to become quite the drama queen. You know, it comes and it goes, I do that later. But matter of fact, it stopped for 6 months and then came when I was in a white dress on a barbecue. But that's another story. And OxyClean, I recommend OxyClean. Soak it overnight, takes everything away except your wrinkles. So, but anyway, thanks to him, he found me a menopause specialist. And here I am, years later. So I decided to write a book. Because why didn't I understand anything about this? Why am I, what I thought was, I was, educated woman, very functional, running a house and, business. I had no idea. And I was actually curious about it. And so I started to write this book. I'm not a writer. I was not computer savvy at all. Not at all. Wouldn't know what a Word document was in a million years. I hand wrote this damn book. My son flew in from New York, Jack Dolgen, who is, actually has a whole career in Hollywood now. He's an Emmy award winning music.
Oh, wow.
Writer for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I don't know if you've heard of that show, but it was on for 4 years. And he was a script writer, songwriter, director, and now he's got a TV series in process that he sold to Netflix, and also other projects he sold to Netflix. So anyway, I only say that because thank God he did this with me.
Yeah.
He's a great writer. So he was in college. So I call him up. He's a senior in college at NYU. I said, will you help me write this book? I've written it. When you come visit, I'm going to need your help, thinking it probably just needed a little help. So he comes to town from New York. He goes, Mom, where's the book? And I said, well, it's here. It's all on the floor here. I've got chapter one. He goes, Mom, you hand wrote the book? He said, no, Mom, computers, a Word document. We got to get this. And anyhow, that's how my book started.
Excellent.
And he helped co-write that book. It got picked up by Hyperion Voice, Disney ABC. And then we published another book. And then now it's a free ebook on my website, ellendolgen.com. So every woman has access to it.
Excellent.
Have to cost you a thing. So that's how my career started.
Excellent. Well, and I know you've spent so much time talking to women and what they're going through. So why don't we start with laying out all of the possible annoyances that menopause blesses on us, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, I want to quickly jump into recommended solutions or treatments or strategies that can help us, you know, manage them, mitigate, you know, the impact. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to start with emotional issues. I'd like to start, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, which should really be year-round awareness. But I'd like to talk about, what are the emotional implications of menopause? What are those things that are happening to us that might start, you know, we might have started to notice a change?
Well, as I mentioned in my experience, and, you know, it will be different. Each woman's unique, right? So if you have like depression issues, you may experience it differently than I did. I did not have depression issues ahead of this process, but I did start experiencing them due to fluctuating hormones. Okay. So my hormones started to fluctuate. My emotions were high, low. Like, I never really felt like that every day. Like, I didn't know who I was going to wake up to. And if women who have emailed me over these 13 plus years have experienced it differently, women who have depression issues experience sometimes a sudden onset of more issues that they have to deal with. And so the most important thing I can recommend to your listeners is this. You need to find yourself a good menopause specialist. That's the first thing. Now, that is not always the person who delivered your baby, because not every person that goes through medical school is getting midlife training, menopause training. Johns Hopkins did a study on that, and it was shocking how few gynecologists know anything about midlife. They really focus on, you know, delivering children. And so you need to find a menopause specialist. And you can go on ellendolgen.com and you can, you know, Google how to find a menopause specialist. And I give you a list of what to do and links. But real quickly, I can tell you that the North American Menopause Society actually has a website that you can go on, put your zip code in, and find somebody who's been trained in your area. Now, some more, you know, areas that are not in bigger cities, it's a little more complicated to find somebody. But my blog, my hot newsflash on it, will tell you how to figure that out. Here's something. Talk to your pharmacist. A good pharmacist knows who's practicing menopause, because they're getting some of those.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, so if you have a trusted pharmacist, that's a good person to call. Good doctors know good doctors. And always ask somebody you think is really a sharp doctor that you're going to, and see if they can help you.
So it sounds like the issues really are that people might be experiencing are anxiety, depression, things that sort of fall into, you know, mental well-being, correct?
Yes, a lot of women feel angry. They experience anger and frustration because of the quick flight hormonal changes.
Yep.
So it's a lot of issues like that. Anger or not feeling okay. Not all of a sudden not feeling that you're okay. You don't want to go anywhere. You're not okay anymore. That's all on my menopause symptoms chart I have on my website.
Okay, we'll link to all of these things.
Emotional and physical, because they're real. And they're very disturbing, but they are manageable, just so you know. They are manageable.
That's great. And so if you're experiencing these changes, is it an automatic you need therapy, or are there other things we should be looking for as triggers to that might be causing it? So let's say you have had depression for years and maybe you're treated, and maybe you're managing with medication and it's fine and it stops working for you. Is it automatically go find another solution? Should women look at other triggers or other factors in what's going on in our bodies?
Right. So this is why I want you to find a menopause specialist if you're midlife, because at this point, you definitely should ask for a hormone panel to be done. Because you want to know what you're treating, right? You know, if you just go back and get more medication for depression, that might not be the right solution. Like, we need to dissect it and figure out, okay, what is the problem? Is it hormones? Yeah, it could be. So let's test our hormones. Let's get the and again, there's a whole list on my website of what tests to ask for. And they're there. It's a blood test, ladies. I mean, it's nothing, you know. It's an estradiol test. It's a progesterone test. It's a definitely, I think you should definitely get your thyroid checked, because
excellent.
A lot of women enter menopause with all of a sudden an onset of a thyroid condition. That happened to me. I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea I had a thyroid condition. And so once they do all the proper testing, then they can actually manage the problem properly. But if you ignore the menopause side, you could possibly be not successful. Because if you manage it, you're not managing it, right?
Well, if you're not treating the real problem, then it is kind of useless, right?
So you want to get your free and total testosterone checked. You want to get your progesterone checked, your estradiol. You want to get a bone density test, because that's important. You want to know whether you're starting osteoporosis or osteopenia. You know, that's the age. You want to get A125. You want to get a cholesterol panel. You want to get vitamin D3, because that affects women dramatically, their vitamin D3 levels. It's real simple, but some doctors aren't doing it because they're not menopause specialists. And so that's why you have to, I suggest.
That's why it's important. Yeah, it sounds like it's really, really important, especially if they're the ones that are sort of practicing this daily and talking to women and seeing the on the ground sort of results of what's going on and issues. So, well, let's move on to physical things, that those goddamn things that happen to our bodies. You know, the three most common that I always heard is, or, you know, the hot flashes. There's always jokes about women getting hot flashes, or, you know, night sweats, insomnia, not being able to sleep, tossing and turning all night, weight gain. Those are the top three that I always kind of, people sort of bitch and moan publicly about. What are those sort of three things, and how do we start managing some of these things that are going on?
So, yes. Those are yes. Matter of fact, I was on a series of menopause awareness videos with Kim Cattrall, and she was sharing with me that, you know, she got coached when she had to do it on Sex and the City. And then, of course, a while after the show, because I don't know if you remember, she was putting yams on herself, and it was hysterical.
Oh, my Lord.
Like fresh yams. And because I guess she was on hormone therapy and she forgot to bring it, and the girls were in Dubai. I don't remember the series, the actual show, but it was so funny. And she was saying how she was in the middle of, you know, acting, and that was all of a sudden drip, drench. For me, I was also in the middle of a meeting surrounded by all men, my first hot flash. And all of a sudden, I felt like I had run a marathon. The sweat started dripping from my face down to the center of my breast, to the inseams of my pants. I looked like I'd wet my pants.
Oh my God.
And I was mortified. Luckily, I carry a huge purse because I think it makes my hips look smaller. And I put that thing in front of me and I was scooted out of there. But everyone has their hot flash story, or not everyone. Some people don't get them. I should say that. They're very lucky. Hold on to those genes.
Yeah.
But hot flashes. So again, you can Google that at ellendolgen.com and get actually a whole list of things. I'll just go over some of them. First, North Menopause Society has determined that the most successful treatment of hot flashes is hormone therapy. It depends on the severity. Some women can stop drinking. don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
liquor can induce hot flashes sometimes. Also spicy food. Also cigarettes. Stop smoking completely if you anything. But
that's just a PSA anyway. That's a good
yeah. But those things can help some women. That's how little theirs are. They're minor hot flashes, right? Then there's herbal treatments. Where, you know, there's a lot of different ones out there. There's a bee pollen, there's Remifemin. There's, you know, some people use, some form of, THC. Yeah. I don't know how successful it is, but I see it's more and more common now. Also low dose antidepressants can work really well for some women.
Interesting. I've not heard that before.
Yes. And they're specific to this. So that's why, and that's all on my website. So educate yourself and then talk to your doctor and tell them what you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know,
absolutely. So yeah. And we will for sure add some links in the show notes, not only to what Ellen is talking about on her website, but to some products that a lot of women in our group, in our private Facebook group, recommend. And those, you know, sometimes it's a little trial and error.
Oh, it definitely is trial and error. As a matter of fact, I say, don't change everything at once, change one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if you love to have your cocktail, you know, cut it back. See if it helps, you know.
Yeah.
Cut back on the things, you know. And but again, the most important thing I want to stress is my motto is reaching out is in, suffering in silence is out. So you don't have to suffer. You have to reach out and get support.
Hey there. I wanted to pop in here and share with you a free resource that I really think you're gonna love. Are you ready to take charge of this perimenopause and menopause thing all us women have to go through? Well, I wanted to make it easy for you to find qualified solutions and other resources so you don't have to take the time to scour and search for what's available and what works. So we created a menopause resource cheat sheet. I know it doesn't sound sexy at all, but it will save you hours of research and direct you to many of the solutions we are talking about today, as well as others that are effective for so many women. Just head to antiagingUncensored.com/menopause cheat sheet to grab your free copy today. Now back to the program. Well, and that's key. That is so important. I have a question about that a little bit after we finish this next part, which is let's talk about some of the more, well, these maybe aren't uncommon, but they are ones that aren't as openly talked about. Maybe beginning with like libido issues and hair loss and migraines.
Yeah. Oh, migraines. I have several friends with those. Yes. So, libido and, dry vagina, I call the whole shebang. Because, you know, they have all these fancy terms. North American Menopause Society's tried to come up with terms. Nobody likes them. You know, Gina Terminary Syndrome. I mean, I can't even say it. It's GSM, they call it. But the point is that, you know, you can get a pelvic exam. You can get an acid balance test and find out if you have dry vagina. Because if your vagina, if you do, sex can hurt.
Right.
Definitely, you're not going to want to have it. So that's going to be a libido problem, right? Mm-hmm. So that could be the cause. That could be the first cause of a libido problem is the fact that it's uncomfortable, and that is also fixable with either vaginal moisturizers, water-based lubricants, vaginal dilators. Sometimes,
excellent.
Some women are doing CO2 laser. And there's also topical and centralized local estrogen therapy, which is very simple to get. So, you know, you don't have to, when your vagina goes to the desert and you stay there, you just bring it back again with a menopause specialist.
You know, recently I saw a bunch of products come on the market that are focused on women, and there's, you know, sexual pleasure, and part of it is what we're talking about, which is dryness. And I'm not surprised to see this, but it's CBD based.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, some women can just use even coconut oil and that helps them during sex.
Yeah.
Some women use olive oil. I mean, you know, like you said, it's trial and error. Mm-hmm. So I always say start at the easiest thing to do. See if you can solve the problem.
Yep.
If those steps don't work, then it's time for the menopause specialist and to talk about local estrogen therapy and to see how severe it is. And you know, some women go on testosterone cream or, I'm not a fan of pellets, but, you know, I don't want hormone pellets, and neither is the North American Menopause Society. The reason being, once you insert a pellet, you cannot regulate it anymore. Mm. So if you got too much testosterone or too much hormones, you're stuck. And it can be very serious for women. Number one, you could be wanting to have sex with the wall, and that's real. Some women experience that. And also, if you have too much testosterone, you can get really bad acne. So it's better if, you know, it's thought by menopause specialists to be better to do topical, hormone therapy, bioidentical. You know, some women insert a DHEA tablet. That's mm-hmm. what I use. I love it. And it's great. It gives me the estrogen, the benefit of, it turns into estrogen. So it gives me the benefit of the moisturizing and also gives you a little kick, little sexual.
By the way, that just sounds good anyway. And one more thing, I just didn't want to forget about this because painful sex, could also be attributed to pelvic floor issues.
Yeah,
And so there are physical therapists that help.
Floor specialists.
Yep. So if that's one, that's a great resource.
Yeah, they might recommend different dilators. They might recommend different exercises, and they work, by the way. So
And let's move into migraines because I have not experienced one yet ever in my life, thankfully. But tell me a little bit about how women are addressing it. I've heard some solutions, but I want to hear yours.
Well, it's interesting. I've done several hot news flashes on this as well, on migraines. I interviewed a very top migraine specialist for women in midlife. So you can also find that if you Google migraines. And here, migraines are tricky because if you're getting them with menopause, they're hormone induced, right? So one thing I recommend is that you download my symptoms chart and you chart those migraines. Because if you chart them and take them into a menopause specialist, they'll be able to see the relevance of your cycle, if you're still cycling, you know, and the migraine trigger, right? And then they can create what they need to do to balance those hormones to calm the migraines down.
So would a solution like they're using Botox now to help people with chronic migraines, you mentioned that it was hormone induced, but I'm wondering, does it matter what it is, how it's induced at that point, or if it's a treatment?
Yes, you know, you have tried the Botox also. Uh-huh. Some have success with it, some don't. But it makes sense that if your migraines are hormone induced, that the Botox may not be your answer. You know,
well, it's a Band-Aid for sure.
Right. So I have some women who find that oral estrogen works better for them. That some of them stay on the pill because there's a low dose pill now that helps women with migraines. Some of them try to go off of it and go on the patch and to mitigate the migraines. Mm-hmm. It is challenging. You really need to find somebody sharp.
This is it sounds like a menopause specialist can really help them out.
A menopause specialist who also has a migraine specialty, you know, in other words, you almost need to ask your menopause specialist for someone who specializes in midlife.
Right.
Because it is like a very, like my husband has migraines. And so I know what that's like. It's terrible to live with that. But this is sort of a unique specialty of migraines. And if you can't get help with your menopause specialist, I would suggest going to a neurologist that does specialize in midlife.
Right.
And now that we do a lot of virtual medicine, you can go to anybody.
It's crazy. It really is. Medicine, everything is so much more accessible. It's fantastic. So let's talk about, maybe you just want to rattle off some of the other symptoms that we might be dealing with or might see creep up into our years.
Yeah. Some of the ones that I think women aren't aware of is muscle aches is one.
Isn't that just creaks and getting older?
No, I mean, it's, you know, when you're in your 50s, you know, start experiencing muscle aches. I mean, that you don't expect it then, kind of, right?
Right, right.
Not weight gain, which, you know, all of a sudden you're a member of the sisterhood of the shrinking pants. You're like, who shrunk my pants? You know, that is a big one. And that's also manageable. I think most success people have on that one is with intermittent fasting. Just
really?
Women find that
fantastic.
Some seminars on that. It's really easy. I do it. I eat from noon to 8 p.m.
Yep. We have a great podcast coming up just on intermittent fasting. So that is excellent because there's lots of benefits.
Lots of benefits. I thought I wouldn't be able to function in the morning without breakfast because I usually go for my walk in the morning. I feel better. But, you know, obviously you want to do that in conjunction with your doctor,
making right.
sure, you know, if you have certain health issues, that may come into play. But so weight gain's a big one. Brain fog, best thing for brain fog, exercise, blood flow. Women think they have to do puzzles. No. Don't sit on your tush doing puzzles. Walk.
Great.
Best thing for brain fog.
Well, that explains why you look so great. So,
well, thank you. But really what I learned is it doesn't even have to be, you don't have to like, you know, be a maniac about it. Get a friend or get somebody that you enjoy talking to and go for a walk, an hour walk every day. If you can't do an hour, 45 minutes is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not believe the health benefits of that. Both mentally, also because it's fun. And it doesn't feel like exercise, and also physically. So exercise, don't sit and doing puzzles. That's a huge thing that I learned from experts. The other symptoms that, you know, some women get really big swollen breasts, and that's also yucky. And so again, that's hormonal. Some women also feel they're basically, I think I addressed this, it's emotional, but it changes their quality of life if they don't get their symptoms addressed. And, and that's when I say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, what is your quality of life right now? And what are you willing to accept? And then that is when you figure out what you want to do. Some women just live with it and, you know, that's a choice. But if your quality of life is being affected by numerous symptoms, you know, you just need to know that there is help.
And I think the last one that I had on my list was hair loss.
Oh, yes. Hair loss is really devastating to women. Now, again, there are two things that can cause hair loss. One is the symptoms of menopause ups and downs of estrogen, but also thyroid issues. That's why I always recommend that you get both of those things checked, right?
That's great advice.
Yeah. So you can have, it can be hormonal decline, thyroid, can be iron deficiencies, get that checked. And also stress can cause hair loss. So those things, I've asked these questions, and it is recommended that once you get all those tests done and everything, that you then go to a dermatologist who specializes in hair loss. Okay. So if your hormones were a mess, if you have a thyroid condition and you've now been put on correct medicine and your problem is still, you know, you're still experiencing this problem or you want to get ahead of it, go to a dermatologist. What will the dermatologist do? Well, most of them recommend Rogaine, just so you know. It's highly recommended, 5%. They recommend, and I've interviewed a dermatologist, they recommend putting it on the hairline here, okay? And they, it does bring blood flow to the scalp. So, you know, that's, so that's one of the products. Sadly, they're not a lot.
Right.
But again, if you get the root cause, you know.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of snake oil in this particular arena that can be a little scary. I know there's, you know, people doing scalp massages and things like that. But
I know men who have tried that cap.
Like the hair max, yeah.
And some women have found help with it. Now, coincidental, you know, some, I think vitamin B, you should look at your B levels too. But a good specialist will know how to help you. And I know it's devastating to women, usually right here too,
right in the most noticeable spot. So I am curious, why do you think menopause is so embarrassing for women to talk about? I mean, these symptoms, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about them. It can be visible. They can, you know, you're talking about emotional things. You're talking about melting down at a party and sweating down your pants and all these sort of things that are happening. It sounds like, of course, it's embarrassing to talk about, but why do we think it's not more commonly talked about, at least within women's circles?
Yeah, I mean, I really tried to break that taboo 13 years ago with other women in the industry that were trying to do it. Because, I mean, it really was a secret 13 years ago. I didn't even know the word perimenopause. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I found out. It's all about age. For some reason, we think that we have to be old to begin the process of menopause, but we aren't old. And so it's an education issue. We are in our 40s when we start the process. That is not old, but no one has educated us. So that's why we think.
Yeah. So we are. Because menopause has this connotation of age attached to it, because it is something that happens as we get older and our bodies are changing. But because of that, we don't want to identify as old.
Exactly. I mean,
interesting.
Think about it. Do you think very many people understand that the process starts in their 40s?
No.
Well, I thought I'd be 60, 65. I had no idea myself. And this was just, you know, not that long ago that I felt that way. So right. We have a lot of education to do, which is great that you're doing this. And I applaud you because you're trying to educate women. You know, I always say, don't hide your menopause under a bush, even though most people are lasered now. But
I love that.
You just have to stop hiding. Why? I mean, ED is all over the TV. No one's hiding about, you know, erectile dysfunction. It's on TV all the time.
Yeah. This is not fair.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's a process, and anybody who has a vagina or knows somebody who has a vagina and cares about that somebody is going to go through menopause.
Really good information. And really good, actually, I should say, really good observation. So before we wrap things up, what is one piece of advice that you would have given your 20-year-old self?
Oh, wow. To be kinder to myself and not to be so hard on myself. You know, look back at that 20-year-old and I go, geez, I never thought I was smart enough or pretty enough or anything enough. And you know what? Now that I'm approaching 68, I say to myself, oh my God, I am enough. And if I feel like I want to do this, or I want to tweak my face, or I want to do that, I get to make those decisions.
Yeah.
No, I really probably cared too much about what other people thought, and I didn't care enough about what I thought.
Yeah, it's so freeing as you get older about this. This is, it's to me, it's one of the big, you know, gems of getting older is the less time spent. Not just less time, I mean massive amounts of time that I spent on worried about what people thought, and I just don't spend that much time on it anymore.
And I made wrong decisions because of it. Sometimes,
you know? I'm sure.
There are things I wanted to do and I didn't think I could or should because I maybe wasn't going to be able to. Now I'm more fearless, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, like I'm starting this new program on my website, which is a virtual hormone happy hour, you know, a support group. And now why I'm starting this, I'm going to be 68. What am I doing this for? But I'm excited to do something that will make a difference. And
yeah.
If the need isn't there, I won't do it. But I think the need is there. And so, that's, you know, great. I'm fearless about trying new things now. And also, you know, it's nice to have more time at this point when you're postmenopausal. You often have more time for yourself, which is nice too.
Absolutely. Well, I cannot thank you enough. You have loaded us with so much good information, and I'm such an actionable kind of person. Like, I want to know how to take action. You have done that for us, and I cannot thank you enough. I know it is still a lot of trial and error for so many of you women, and but having this information, it's like you have an arsenal of information, and we will definitely be linking to everything that was mentioned in this podcast today by Ellen. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. And if I can leave your listeners with a couple things, it is to trust how they feel. You know, when you don't feel good, get the help you need and deserve. And my motto, reaching out is in, suffering in silence is out.
I love that. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Wow, that was good. All right, ladies, before you head off to conquer menopause like a badass, don't forget to grab our free list of menopause solutions to help you with the symptoms you are dealing with. You can download it for free at antiagingUncensored.com/menopause cheat sheet. It is jam-packed with essential products you need to tackle all those pesky menopause symptoms. To learn more about Ellen and find all her resources and information on menopause, check out our show notes at antiagingUncensored.com, where you'll also discover all our episodes. And if you want to hear more about menopause solutions, tune into podcast episode 14 with Jill Angelo, where we dive deeper into what stages we are in and steps we can take to confront menopause head on. So until next week, I'm Jill Gilbert, your host of Anti-Aging Uncensored. Have a crazy healthy week.